It's now time for Talkin' Boxing with Billy C. It began as a podcast, went live on the net, and transformed into a full-blown empire. It's the only daily boxing talk show on the planet, hosted by the only guy with the balls to do it. Many have stepped into the ring. Many have tried to take the belt. And one by one, they've fallen. Another victim of the undisputed heavyweight champion of Boxing Talk Radio. Talkin' Boxing with Billy C is on now.
My style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart.
Coming to you live from the Billy C. Studios in Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Caligero, and it's time for the Billy C. Show. Good morning, good day, good evening. Whenever you listen, hope you're doing all right. I want to give a special shout-out to all of our viewers on Fight TV. And if you don't have our app, what are you waiting for? Download it right now. Go to Fight. That's F-I-T-E. Go to fight.tv/Billy C and download our app today and find out what you're missing with that. You get a lot of stuff, including an opportunity to watch the fights from Germany this weekend on Fight TV. So download our app today, fight.tv/Billy C. Today's show is being brought to us in part by Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant, located on beautiful St. Simon's Island in Georgia. Check out his website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com. Or give my man a call, 912-268-2328, 912-268-2328. Find out why I go all the way to St. Simon's to get a slice of pizza. And I'm not kidding you, Sal's got the best. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by Gawk Box. That's right, Gawk Box. What is it? Go to our website. I am newly finished, updated website, that is, BillyCBoxing.com, and click on the Gawk Box banner, which you'll see on the right-hand side. Hey, it's a way you can get stuff for nothing or discounted, and it helps us out. Go to Gawk Box, and then drop me an email and tell me how you made out. Billy@TalkinBoxing, TalkinBoxing.com. And today's show is being brought to us in part by my book, Tom Molino, From Bondage to Baddest Man on the Planet, is available right now where all great books are sold. And you can literally get a copy of this book right now by visiting BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. Find out why we got a 5-star rating across the board. And, you want a signed copy? Don't worry about it. Visit our website, BillyCBoxing.com, and go into click on the book, and you'll find out what you got to do there. Today's show, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about, including some fight results from on ESPN last night from the Turning Stone. We got some fights this weekend I want to talk about. We got Sean Porter against Andre Berto happening on Showtime. There's also a pay-per-view for the Top Rank card. We'll talk about that. There's also, via Fight TV, you can watch the Arthur Abraham fight, which is going to be happening from Germany against Robin Krasniqi. It's a title elimination. But first, I want to start off with this. Adrian Broner gets arrested again. I lost track, man. I got to take my socks and shoes off to count any time. He gets arrested again. This time, the coppers find him in a rented SUV with bullet holes in it, and he doesn't know nothing about it. He gets arrested, and it wasn't for the bullet holes. It was a fact that he had gotten arrested for a outstanding warrant that was issued for his arrest. And he got when they found him in the bullet-ridden car, they basically brought him in, booked him, and released him on bail. Joining me right now with his thoughts, all the way from beautiful St. Simon's Island, Georgia. Now, this cat's a New Jersey Boxing Hall of Famer. He's a Guinness Book of World Record holder. He knows how to run a restaurant pretty damn well. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children's of all ages, please welcome the man, the myth, the legend himself. And just remember who coined that for this guy. I won't mention any names, but the initials of Billy C. Ladies and gentlemen, Sal Rocky Senecola. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, Billy. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing very well, brother. I'm doing very well. And I'd do a little better if you talked a little closer to your microphone. But
okay,
how's the weather down there?
The weather is so fine.
What's your thoughts on Adrian Broner being arrested again?
This time they
pick him up in a SUV that's got no less than 8 bullet holes in it. According to the police report, Adrian Broner said that he was being followed by an unidentified person and after he left the bar. And for no apparent reason, this unidentified person opened fire on him. And when the police responded to the shots fired call, they found Adrian Broner in this rented SUV with no less than 8 bullet holes in it and arrested him because he had an existing warrant. What's your thoughts on this whole situation from Adrian Broner again in trouble?
Well, again, if it walks like a duck and if it sounds like a duck, it must be Adrian Broner. I don't know. You know what? How do you want to carry yourself? How do you want to line yourself? How do you want to live your life? I mean, do you want to be full of bullet-riddled cars? You don't put yourself in that position. And this guy likes to flirt with that kind of life. And unfortunately, obviously, he's doing a little more than flirting. And so like I said, if it walks like a duck, sounds like a duck, quacks like a duck, strouts like a duck, quack, it must be Adrian Broner. I don't know.
Maybe it's a duck. But anyway, Adrian Broner in trouble again. We may open up the phone lines.
I'm not writing any letters. Forget about it. No letters this time.
Yeah, we may open up the phone lines and get his thoughts on that. I just want to get everybody caught up on some fight results that took place on ESPN last night. It's from the Turning Stone Resort and Casino. The main event, Michael Perez, despite hitting the canvas late in the fight and being pretty banged up, won a decision over Marciliano Lopez to improve to 25 wins, 2 losses, and a couple of draws. Lopez, he drops to 32 wins, 2 losses, and a draw. Now, the way the judges saw it, we had one seeing it 96-93, and one had it 97-92 for one had it 96-93 for Lopez. One had it 97-92 for Perez, and the third judge gave it to Michael Perez at 96-93. So the winner by a majority decision is Michael Perez. On the co-main event that was televised, Rashidi Ellis and John Carl Socha won 4-4 decent fight, and Ellis won by decision. The way the judges scored to improve to I jumped ahead of myself to improve to 18-0 with 12 knockouts. Socha loses for the third time in his career, 13-3 now. The way the judges saw it, 95-95 even. One and the other two had it 97-93 in favor of Ellis. So that's what we saw on ESPN last night. And Sal, guess what we got?
What do you have? What do we have?
We got another injury that is affecting a fight in the cruiserweight division. Champion Bibas Shumanov apparently has suffered an eye injury Wednesday in training. It was reported yesterday. And he's not able to fight on a previously scheduled April 29th show that was taking place from Vegas next week. There's no report on when he will be able to return. The card's not being canceled because the co-main event which features an interim champion in the featherweight division, Carlos Zambrano, putting his interim belt on the line against Claudio Moreno, who's only once beaten, 21-1. That moves to the main event. But, you know, we've seen this and heard about this a lot, Sal, about these injuries, you know, fairly close to a fight. You know, are there any precautions that fighters can take and trainers can take? I mean, I know accidents happen and I know injuries happen, but it just seems today that injuries take place at, you know, for critical fights at critical times. I mean, they're a week away. Shouldn't they be, I mean, isn't there training starting to, you know, a peak, and should they still be sparring, and should they be wearing full faces? I mean, what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, right out of the book, I had a big fight I was training for. I was the co-feature underneath Aaron Pryor card, his last successful title defense at the Sands Casino against Gary Hinton. That's one with Richie Giacchetti and Sylvester Stallone, and I was training. I left camp in Culver City, where Stallone had a beautiful camp for Aaron and myself and Lee Cannellino, and I came back to Newark, New Jersey, sparred with my Jersey trainer, Johnny Torres. And I went to the gym, just a little quick wrap-up, and boom. I wore a headgear, everything else, and we were just a last sparring session, and bam, I got butted in the top of my head, and blood came out, and it was pouring all over. Took a couple stitches, and my fight was canceled, and I couldn't do it. I was supposed to fight, who was it, John Duplessis from New Orleans. That's it.
But are there any precautions that people can take?
You could take. You know, your butts are going to happen. You just taper down. You backtrack. You're peaking. It's a week before the fight. If you're going to spar, you're doing it just for your timing, just for, you know, your final wrap up a couple of days before, loosening up and shaking out. But you know you're never 100% insulated from a muscle pull, from something going on, an injury, a butt, or something else. You got to be a little careful, you know, especially a week out of the fight. You know, that's when you're not so explosive on your muscles and your tendons and your joints, either hitting a bag or running in. You do have to warm up correctly. You have to stretch and you have to do warm up those muscles before you do anything. So is it 100% foolproof and insulated? No, it's not. And things do happen. And you could always get an elbow or get a butt when you're sparring and tapering down. But that is definitely not supposed to happen, but it can happen. So there's nothing too much you can do to avoid it except be conscientious of it, and that's it.
I would think that, you know, from my experience, obviously you've trained for pro fights. I haven't. I fought on an amateur level. But from my experience, you know, with fighters and coordinating fights and promoting fights, et cetera, I would think that, and most of the time these fighters have already had the bulk of their training, their sparring, their preparation. When they're a week out, they're kind of peaked and you know, just going through the motions. You know, maybe this was his last sparring session. I don't know.
And that's possible, Bill, because you usually want to be ready a week out. Usually that last week, you just want to maintain and look at the weight. You want to, I'm going to say, yeah, you are. You're a full spar a week out. You are fully engaging, because that's when you feel you're going to peak and you want to peak. And then you taper it down just a couple days before, so you're going to be rested and ready to get in that ring. That's it. So there's a likelihood that if it's going to happen, it can happen a week to 2 weeks out from a fight date.
Hey, listen, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to get you caught up on some emails. We may even open the phone lines for a little bit. I don't know. A lot of stuff's going on, but Sal and I are going to talk about the big fights scheduled for this weekend. I'll tell you what. We'll be back in two.
The Billy C. Morning Show will be right back.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening.
Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 800-567-0214 because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-567-0214. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-567-0214. That's 800-567-0214.
Check out BillyCBoxing.com now or feel the wrath of the mighty mustache.
Oh, that hurts. Why are you doing that to my face? I hate you. I hate you.
That's BillyCBoxing.com. Consider this your warning.
Now, back to the Billy C. Morning Show. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the Billy C. Show. Glad you could join us. And I just want to let everybody know that we're still working out a couple of little bugs. We are going live with some new networks that we're on beginning May 1st. So we're excited about that. So we're just in the process of playing around with some new toys and then sending it and having them check and all these things. So hang tight. You'll see the finished product pretty soon. But right now, I want to get you guys caught up with some other sports real quick. In the NBA playoffs, the Cavaliers took a 3-0 lead over the Pacers last night by winning 119-114. The Bucks, they beat the Raptors 104-77 to take a 2-1 game lead in their series. And also with a 2-1 game lead, the Spurs have a 2-1 game lead over the Grizzlies. But the Grizzlies came out on top last night, 105-94. That's an NBA playoff action. In the National Hockey League, those playoffs are going too. The Penguins beat the Blue Jackets to win that series 4-1. The score of the game last night was 5-2. The Rangers come back from being down in their series against the Canadiens. They win 3-2 over the Canadiens. Now, the Rangers took the series lead at the same 3-2. With the Predators and the Blackhawks, well, the Predators beat the Blackhawks 4-1. They shut out the Blackhawks in their series and move on with a 4-0 game series win there. And the Oilers needed overtime to top the Sharks 4-3. Edmonton now leads that series 3-2. So we got some competitive stuff going on both in the basketball playoffs and the hockey playoffs. Now in Major League Baseball, the Red Sox over the Blue Jays in 10 innings, 4-1. The Indians topped the Twins 6-2. The Rays beat the Tigers 8-1. The Astros over the Angels 2-1. The Orioles beat the Reds 2-1. And my Mets lose again. The Phillies, lowly Phillies, beat the Mets 6-4. Syndergaard suffers his first loss. The Mets dropped to 8-8 on the season. The Nationals topped the Braves 3-0 to remain in first place in the NL East. The Rangers blank the Royals 1-0 in 13 innings. The Brewers over the Cardinals 7-5. The Padres over the Diamondbacks 4-1. And the A's beat the Marlins. The Mariners 9-6. So that's what's happening there. And Sal, we got some emails to read, my man.
Let's do it.
First one is from Jesse. Jesse says, "Hey, Billy C and Sal, I saw in a video." This is right up your alley, Sal. He says, "I saw in a video interview with Don Turner, a trainer, that he mentions that he's never done mitts with a fighter. What do you think of this method?" Now, before I get your thoughts, I think that the mitts, I've talked to a lot of old-time trainers, and if you ever watch any footage of old fighters, like I don't mean old fighters fighting, but fighters from yesteryear training, and there's a lot of footage of fighters training, you never see guys work in the mitts. The mitts were developed, I believe, sometime in the early 80s, Mitt's training. But here's my thoughts, and Sal's going to give you his from a very close perspective since he worked with Don Turner. But the truth of the matter is this: the Mitts, to me, is a timing mechanism, and it's not that great because what happens is it becomes a choreograph. And when, how many times have you seen footage of Floyd Mayweather and his father, you know, going through the mitts and they're, you know, blazing speed and Floyd's there. He does it blindfolded. He does this. He does that. That shows nothing. That shows that he knows where the mitts are going to be. You know, I know that it helps with emulate a punch being thrown and then something coming back at you and so on and so forth. But the mitts to me become a timing mechanism that's choreographed, and I'm not so sure it actually helps the fighters in the long run. But Sal, you worked with Don Turner, and you never worked with mitts. What's your thoughts on the mitts process in a training procedure?
Well, there's a lot of myth with the mitts. Not really.
You need to speak a little louder, Sal.
Okay, how's that? Is that better?
It's a little better. Go ahead.
All right. There's a lot of myths with the mitts. No, not really. Don Turner and I never worked mitts. You're right. But you know what? He had one of his other associate trainers, J.J. Kennedy, that did hold a couple mitts, and we worked out a little bit. Mitts are great for timing, as you said. You know, when a trainer can engage and come back at you and you have to roll under him. But for, as you said, choreographed. Now, I see exactly what you're saying. And it's not 100% emulating what a fight's going to be like. But it does give you the opportunity to pinpoint and place your punches, even though you're going to know where they are, they should be. It has its place, but I'm not fully sold on the whole mitts. It's a great show, though. Great show for training. And the guy using the mitts, your trainer, usually he puts on a better show, and he's in that whole camera view, and he likes that, the whole thing, too, because that's important how he does it. Usually they slam back at your gloves, too, to make that smack and that pack. So it's a good show. I think they have their place, but it's definitely not the sole purpose of training. It's got its purpose, but I'm not a big mitt guy. I could train and prepare for a fight without him.
Yeah, I think the key word here is show, and I think that that's what it does.
Yes, it was.
Jesse says, Billy, what's your thoughts on Jorge Lara and Mario Briones? Will this be the year he makes notice in this division? Well, I'm assuming you mean Jorge Lara. And to tell you the truth, I think if he's already made an impact in the featherweight division. Here's the problem. He's just not active enough. He's 26 years old. He's undefeated. He's got a record of 28-0 with a couple of draws. He's taken on Briones, who's 25-5 with a couple of draws, and he's 31. He's been around for a while. But when you look at Lara, his last fight was a year ago, and it was a substantial fight against Fernando Montiel, but it was a year ago. Prior to that, a year earlier, he fought Jesus Rojas, or not quite a full year, but that was in 2005. His other notable win was Oscar Ibarra in 2013. Basically, he fought once in 2016, twice in 2015, twice in 2014, and his last busy year, by today's standards, four times in 2013. I think the issue with Lara is the fact that he's not busy enough. But as far as him being a player in his division, I think he's already there. He says, what do you think of Julio Ceja and Marino? Is it a meaningful fight, or are these guys just almost on their way out? It's a meaningful fight because the winner of this fight moves forward. The loser of this fight possibly may hang him up or be classified as that journeyman status. So we'll wait and see on that. He says, do you like the Donny Nientes against Comgrich? Not a perch peach fight. Comgrich is on a win streak against somewhat good opposition. Donny Nientes is always a tough out, and not a patch is a good fighter. And I, you know, the problem with the fighters from the other continent, we don't get to see them a lot. We get to, see the results, but a lot of times they'll fight less than stellar opposition. So I like the fight. We'll see what happens with that. He says, for this weekend, I got Valdez, Jesse Zerto winning easily. He's got Porter knocking out Andre Berto. I can see a lot of clinching and holding. My hang-up with that pay-per-view, and we're going to be getting to that in a second, the top-ranked pay-per-view, is that none of them are really matched up. Sal, I know we talked to people about this, and there were some conflicting opinions, and they say, well, you know, pay-per-view is our only opportunity to watch this fight, so we got no choice. I just feel, and you know, watching a pay-per-view, like, you know, you can watch all the, like, for example, the Abraham Krasniqi fight that's available as a pay-per-view on Fight TV this weekend. That's, you know, in my opinion, that's cool for us because it's on the other side of the pond. So people that are calling from the other side of the pond and they look at the opportunity to get in a pay-per-view like this top-ranked fight, I get it. I understand. But for us here in the U.S., with a fight that's taken place in the U.S. and to have it as a pay-per-view, I've always kind of thought that it should be a top-notch fight, at least competitive. What do you think?
Well, you know, that's the whole thing. We looked at pay-per-view. Its earlier predecessor was closed circuit TV, and you know, it was a big event. It was a big super fight that would draw a lot of attention, and you needed to have to see the fight. It's a fight of the century. You know, and now they just some of them are average, some of them are okay, you know. But no, I think some of the pay-per-view fights, the mega fights, those should be reserved for pay-per-view, and maybe they should find another venue for or cable or network as they do for lesser fights. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that pay-per-views, at least local or here in the States, should. Be reserved for the for the best fights. Best fights.
I think you're right. You know, because it means something. I mean, when you see closed circuit TV or pay per view, it meant it was a mega fight. It was a big stellar draw, and we were going to be salivating and waiting for this fight to happen. It was the fight of the century or the decade or whatever it was. So, you know, it had an impact, and it was definitely something that we look forward to. Now. Some of them are just average at best, you know.
The one this weekend isn't even that. But anyway, Joel says, hey, Billy C, with a good amount of boxing scheduled for this week, I wanted the official Billy C and Sal predictions on three fights. Krasniqi, Abraham, Valdez, Mariaga, and Porter Berto. Joel says, I have Abraham by a close decision. He says Valdez will win by a wide margin. And I have the same feeling with Porter schooling Berto. He says, I am going to order the TV pay-per-view of Krasniqi Abraham on Sunday. I know, you'll rip me apart on your show, but I'm brave enough to admit I'll drop my 25 and be the only viewer to watch it since I love the German boxing scene. First of all, I'm not going to rip you because I the only ones I ripped you on, Joel, with some of the crazy fights that – and listen – I think the more fights people buy, the better. So I wasn't ripping you, but the Krasniqi Abraham fight is a worthwhile fight to watch for sure. And I too love the European scene. So he says, can you give your verdict on the post-fight show situation for this weekend? Good question. You know, I wanted to do the Porter Berto post-fight, but we are still making some changes, and I got a big testing thing scheduled for Saturday. So I won't be able to, but like Sal and I discussed earlier in the week, we are going to focus on the next week's cards, Anthony Joshua, of course, against Klitschko. It will be a post-fight show that will be on earlier, but we'll tell you right now that we are definitely doing that. And then once that takes place, we'll be back on track for all the other post-fights. So bear with us while we go through this. It's an upgrade. It's an upgrade. Trust me. As far as my official predictions and Sal's for this weekend, as far as Krasniqi Abraham, I do think it's going to be a competitive fight. I'm picking Abraham in this fight, even though I think Abraham is long gone from what I used to love. Listen, this was one of my favorite middleweights when he was a middleweight. I followed him up into super middleweight. I've always liked Abraham. Power puncher. I couldn't stand his defense where he just gave up those first four rounds But I'm betting with my heart on this one. I'm taking Arthur Abraham. And what I agree with everyone else, I think it's going to be a close fight because I think Krasniqi is going to try to take advantage of the first four rounds or so that Abraham's going to give him. Sal, what's your thoughts on this one?
Well, anybody going to give me the first four rounds, I'm going to make sure it doesn't go past five. But I'll tell you what, it could be a good fight, but I could see Abraham squeezing this out. And we'll see. We'll see. But Krasniqi, I'll tell you what, if he's smart, he's going to jump on those first, prepare for a six-round explosive fight. And if he could get in the side in those first four rounds, he's gonna hurt and get through. And you'll see by sixth round what the direction this fight's really going to go.
The next fight, the Valdez and Mariaga fight, I don't think it's going to be competitive. I don't think any of those fights are going to be competitive on that card. I will talk about those in a second, but I think that Valdez will win that fight fairly easily. Sal, your thoughts?
Yeah, Valdez should definitely have the opportunity to win this fight and do it in a good fashion.
And finally, the third fight, which is the big one, and I'm going to start to break it down right now, is the Andre Berto against Sean Porter fight. First and foremost, I have some quotes which I'll give you guys in a minute. But as far as the two fighters go, Sean Porter, let me backtrack. Let me start off with Andre Berto. He's a former world champion. You know, he busted onto the scene. You know, he beat Cosme Rivera in 2007, followed that with a big win against David Estrada. And he ended up getting an opportunity after his next fight against Michael Trebon, a shot at a vacant WBC world title in the welterweight division. That was way back in 2008. He won that fight. Then he was still a development in process. You know, everybody was saying, well, he's still getting better. And they gave him Steve Forbes. Yes, the Steve Forbes, they made him move up to welterweight. And he beat Steve Forbes. Went the distance, but he beat him. He fought a still decent Luis Collazo and won a 12-round decision that many people thought could have went either way. Juan Urango was a big fight that he won. Carlos Quintana he won. Freddie Hernandez he beat. And then he stepped in the ring with Victor Ortiz and lost a exciting fight. He was able to regain a title when he fought and beat Jan Zavik, but then lost it for a failure to defend in a timely manner due to injury. He got a shot at Robert Agos Guerrero and lost, and that's when Guerrero won a title. He lost to Jesus Soto Carrasco, getting knocked out, came back a year later, and got back on the winning track. He beat Steve Upshur Chambers. He got another shot at an interim belt against Josito Lopez. Again, they made Josito Lopez move up in weight, stopped Josito Lopez in six. Then he fought Floyd Mayweather and lost a 12-round decision there, losing his interim belt and not being able to win Floyd's belt. So he lost to Mayweather. And then a year after that, he got a rematch with Victor Ortiz, and this time he knocked out Ortiz. Now, that was April of last year. You don't need to look at the calendar to see that it's April of this year,
which
is a year later, and now he steps in with Sean Porter. Now, as far as Sean Porter is concerned, Sean Porter, you know, I think overall he's fought the much tougher opposition. He won a title as far as a world title back in 2013 when he beat Devon Alexander. But up until that point, you know, he had some decent wins. Hector Munoz was a decent win. Phil Logreco, a decent win. Julio Diaz, a good win. And then Devon Alexander, when Devon Alexander was at his peak, beat Devon Alexander. Alexander was once beaten in that fight. Porter won that fight. He also destroyed Paulie Malignaggi and then lost a very close, controversial decision against Kell Brook in 2014. He followed that with two wins. Adrian Broner was one of them. And then most recently, almost a year ago, in June of last year, he fought Keith Thurman and lost a 12-round decision. Another great fight. Now, when I look at these two guys, you know, people have a tendency to write Andre Berto off. But when I look at it, it's not so much that I'm writing Andre Berto off. I'm writing him as never really being on. You know, this was a guy that is very one-dimensional. He's an awkward stance, very awkward stance, chaos in his corner, a lot of yes men, a lot of guys in his ear. I think he was, you know, put into the right fights at the right time. And you fast forward to this weekend, he's 33 years old. He's facing a guy in Sean Porter who seemingly gets better but a little wild at 29. I think this fight is going to be a slugfest. I don't think there's going to be as much holding and stuff that people think. Both fighters come in and want to, you know, be power shots, you know, land power shots. I think that Sean Porter is very susceptible of getting some head cut or butt damage, head cuts or, you know, facial cuts from headbutts. He goes in with his head. He throws punches, a lot of them, but he's not that accurate. My official pick in this one, Sal, is Sean Porter. I think Sean Porter is going to win this fight. And I am one that would love to see a rematch between he and Keith Thurman. What's your thoughts on this one?
Billy, I'll tell you what. I cannot think of a more eloquent and more beautifully put description and assessment of the fight than what you just relayed to the audience here. Perfect. And I do pick Porter for the same reasons. And it's so funny when you were describing the fights, and especially the one with Keith Thurman, which we saw, and we thought that would have been a good contender for the fight of the year. It was a great fight. And Sean Porter comes to fight, and he does throw punches in bunches. In fact, you know, he's a good candidate to what the working with the mitts are all about, because he throws those punches like he's hitting mitts. They just go out and they're not 100% accurate, but he's throwing those combinations. So I think if he has a little guided missile on his punch, he'll catch Andre Berto, and I think he'll hurt Berto. I think he's too much of a firepower. I think he's going to come on him. I think he's going to be aggressive. I think he's going to throw those combinations. And I think some of those punches are going to hit the target.
I think he's like lightning. He never lands the same. He never lands the same spot two times in a row. But
I think he learned those combinations with all those punch mitts. And he's just pretending those mitts are out there. And he's going to, you know, it's a numbers game. He throws the punches and bunches. One of them going to land.
Yeah, move. I hate to keep doing this live because, you know, it drives me insane. But you got to move your mic away from you just a little bit, my man, just a little bit, to get that to come in a little better. But I got some quotes. This one's from Andre Berto. He says, "I started my career in New York, and it feels great to be back here in New York. In case you guys didn't know, this fight is taking place in New York." He says, "This is going to be a fantastic night of fights. I go a long way back with a lot of these guys up here. It's tremendous to see these fighters still dialed in at this level. I'm the old vet now." He says, "I'm still on the top of my game. That's something that's hard to do. We had a tremendous camp, one of the best I've had in years. I was focused the whole time." What does that mean? You know, a lot of times you're not focused. He says, "I'm looking forward to putting those straps on my belt. Just like they on my waist, just like they never left. I respect Sean and his dad, but right now they're in the way. I'm going to show you what it's like to go through adversity in life, then make it to the top again. Saturday night, we're going to make it all happen." Sean Porter says, "When it's time for fight night, when it's time for the fight, Andre Berto and I will put on a show. I've seen this man get hit, and I've seen him get put down, but he keeps getting up. I know he can hurt. And I know he can be hurt. I also know he could be stopped. He's a man just like me. He's ready, but not as ready as me. You don't want to miss this fight on Saturday. The number one thing for me is to win this fight and then show Keith Thurman that I'm ready for a rematch. There's nothing allowed but positive energy. We're almost there. I'm definitely excited." He says, "Andre Berto is dangerous if you allow him to be. We'll do everything that we can to make sure that he doesn't happen. I have no doubt in my mind that we won't be in any danger on Saturday night. We saw during the Floyd fight that footwork can work against Andre Berto. Against Josito Lopez, we saw that you can box Berto, but you need to get out of the pocket. Against Victor Ortiz, we saw that he got put down by Victor. The difference between Victor Ortiz and myself is that I'm a fighter who never stops. I'm coming after you. The jab will be a key to this fight. I can throw my jab a lot of different ways. You'll see me using a jab a lot in this fight. Some people thought that Garcia Thurman lacked action, but I'm not worried about that for this one. I don't condone booze. That's how I fight. I to tell you the truth, Sal, I don't see this fight being a boring fight. I don't know why we had Jesse saying that he feels that there's going to be a lot of clinches going on. Neither one are known for clinching. What's your thoughts?
I think in a clinch, you clinch. No, I'm teasing. I think that I like the words from Sean Porter. I think he's going to try to deliver and put on a good show. And I agree. I think he's going to be throwing those punches and bunches. And, you know, you can't get away from the numbers and the stats. You throw more punches, and if you could hit some and be accurate, you're gonna win a fight. So I think that Sean Porter is going to definitely take this fight and be serious, and he's going to want to look good. I don't think I think Keith Thurman will have Sean Porter's number even more so if they did rematch. So, but we'll see. Right now we're looking at this fight, and I think Sean Porter is definitely going to do what he has to do and convincingly beat Andre Berto.
Well, like all fights and fighters, they should never look past the fight at hand. Hey, listen, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will we'll talk about the pay-per-view card, which I'm not that crazy about. We'll be back in two.
The Billy C. Morning Show. We'll be right back.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-567-0214, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-567-0214. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-567-0214. That's 800-567-0214.
Check out BillyCBoxing.com now, or feel the wrath of the mighty mustache.
Oh, that hurts. Why are you doing that to my face? I hate you. I hate you.
That's BillyCBoxing.com. Consider this your warning.
Now, back to the Billy C. Morning Show. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the Billy C. Show. Glad you could join us. Don't forget about GawkBox. Yeah, what is it? Check it out. Visit our website, BillyCBoxing.com, and click on the GawkBox banner and find out what it is. There you go. Find out what it is. And we can help you, and you can help us. So definitely check it out, www.BillyCBoxing.com, and click on the GawkBox banner. You know, we got some other fights this weekend, and you know, one of the issues here, and by the way, one of the issues here is the pay-per-view was one that I don't think is really that great. You know, I, to be honest with you, I think that the pay-per-view that's being broadcast, I'm just not crazy about it. It's Oscar Valdez against Miguel Mariaga, Gilberto Ramirez against Mac Bursack, and Jesse Magladeno against Dos Santos, with the pro debut of Shakur Stevenson. Sal, I know we talked a little bit about this in the past, But, I mean, I just think that these pay-per-views should be better. You know, I mean, what do you think?
Oh, of course I do. I mean, we could overkill it, but I mean, it is. It's a pay-per-view. That used to mean in the 80s or 90s, when you could see these big mega fights, that they were something very special. So you can consistently depend or count on a pay-per-view being something that you're going to want to dish out the dollars if you're a fight fan, because you're going to recognize the fighters and you're going to recognize the importance of the significance of this fight. So, you know, I don't see that with all these pay-per-views today. I think it's just a way that the venue that their promoters are looking to maximize their returns or the dollars, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's the, like I said, the need or the greed that drives the sport and many motivations of people. But the bottom line is it's not always the best and the biggest fights as it used to be when you hear the words pay-per-view, you know.
Well, that you know, that was the whole thing. I mean, back in the day, you know, we got to see a lot of fights on regular TV, and yep, they were decent. And then they would, you know, culminate into a mega fight, so to speak. And that mega fight would be given to us as a pay-per-view. And that's what we got used to. Now, with that said, you know, I've talked about this in the past many times about how, you know, not only boxing, but you know, our viewing pleasures in the world today, it's all going to be based on paying for, you know, a subscription of sorts, so that you get to watch the types of programming that you like, and I get to watch what I like, so on and so forth. So that pay-per-view model is changing. So it's not exactly like it used to be, you know, 20 years ago, where you'd watch all the regular fights, on different networks, and then all of a sudden you got the quote mega fight, the substantial fight, the fight that means so much in a division, and then boom, they clash and it becomes a pay per view, you know. But when I see a fight like this card, and I know that we were, or I was criticized about saying that it's not a worthy pay-per-view, and someone wrote, and he's actually a guy from England, and he was writing saying, well, you know, it gives me the only chance I can to watch this fight. I understand that, just like we have the opportunity to watch Arthur Abraham fight, and we got to pay for it. But for us here in the States, to watch Oscar Valdez fighting Miguel Mariaga. Now, Mariaga's a tough guy, Sal. I mean, I'm not suggesting that he's not, but this isn't the type of fight that justifies a pay-per-view. Gilberto Ramirez against Mac Bursack, again, on paper it looks okay, but Bursack hasn't been at the top of his game for a long time. Magladeno against Adelson Dos Santos. Jesse Magladeno is a good fighter. He's a champion now, a kid that I personally like. I mean, I've got to meet him out in Vegas when we're doing our show for a week out there. But Dos Santos is not a world beater either. I mean, is Shakur Stevenson a guy that many people think is going to be the future of his division? He's fighting at featherweight now. He's a gold medal winner in this past Olympics. He's making his pro debut, but is that a guy that's worth the pay-per-view? I don't know, Sal. You know, I'm torn. Yeah, I want to see the fights. Yeah, I do. But, you know, when you look over on Showtime and you see Berto Porter, and then the co-main event is Jermell Charlo against Charles Hatley, I mean, I think that Top Rank is battling a tough fight to get people to watch their pay-per-view.
Hey, I agree. It is. It's a tough sell.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why, I don't know. What's your thoughts on the Valdez Mariaga? I know you said Valdez should win. Do you think he's going to stop him? I mean, what do you think?
I think he will. I think he has the power. I think he could catch him, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if he stops him. Let me put it that way.
Ramirez against Max Bursack in the super middleweight division. What do you think?
I will definitely have to look at this fight. I don't want to say right now. I want to watch that fight and see. Who do you like?
Well, I think Ramirez, you know, they're really finding, they're trying to groom him. I just, you know, he is a champion. I personally think that he got his title shot a little too soon. I know he's a young fighter. I know he shows a heck of a lot of promise. I think he's going to win the fight. I just, you know, how does Mac Bursa, you know, the bigger question is, forget how Ramirez got his shot at a title. Forget how he's been protected. My question is how does Max Bursack get a shot at the title? I mean, you know, one of these things that we're always talking about is, you know, as a young fighter, and you know better than anyone, well, not that you're a young fighter, but you were a long time ago.
I was.
That you know, you work in the gym and you pay your dues, so to speak, and you earn, let's emphasize the word earn a shot at a title. You know, it seems today that people get chosen for a shot at a title because they don't represent too much of a risk for the champion. What's your thoughts on the earning a shot at a title versus being chosen for a shot at the title? I like the way I got to pat myself on the back for that one, Sal.
Are you practicing diplomacy at this stage?
I don't know about that, but I do think that Matt Bursack has been chosen. I really don't think he's earned.
It's a lucky chosen one. And you know what? Unless he could rise to the occasion and say, hey, I got an opportunity I normally didn't expect. I'm going to take advantage of it and come in to own the house and win this fight. You know, that's exactly how it sometimes happens. You're chosen. I mean, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit of a handshake with some money and you're ranked in the top 10. I don't know. You could be floundering. I don't know. It is. You're chosen.
You know, I've always felt, and I feel really strongly about it, and I know we've talked about this a lot on this show, but when you, and in today's world of boxing, the biggest common complaint is that we have too many champions. You know, everybody could agree that we have too many champions. And the thing is that, you know, once you become a champion, at least in my humble opinion, Sal, you, there's no more, whether you're still developing or not, because in, you know, as athletes, they're always developing and getting better until Father Time puts them on their fannies. But, you know, once you're a champion, this overprotection has to stop. You know, in this case, you know, Gilberto Ramirez, I agree. I think that Max Bursack was chosen for him. And I think that, you know, they're just giving him a title defense and so on and so forth. I think once you earn a title, once you win a title, regardless of how you won it, now you got to be fighting the top contenders, the guys that are in that number one spot, because they have earned that spot to challenge you for your belt. He's still developing. He's still a work in progress. All that crap I can't take. What do you think?
No, you're 100% right. Let me put it this way. You're in the top 10. You get chosen to get a title fight, to have a title fight opportunity. And, you know, you rise to the occasion and you win that title. Oh, but you're still developing. Well, let's say you're still developing. Once you're a champion, you abide by the rules of what you bear. I mean, you're supposed to fight the top. Is it still? You're supposed to fight the number one ranked contender every 6 months. And, you know, you could fight anybody in the top 10 in between, and that's your time to choose. But you do have an obligation to fight the number one ranked contender every 6 months. So if you have put it on the line and you want that title, you know, you have to do what is outlined in the obligations of being a champion, and that is defend the title against the number one ranked contender every 6 months or so, unless it's changed since I knew it. I don't know. And you know what? You could pick and choose in between, but you know what? You're obligated to fight the number one ranked contender, and your days of learning are great. You can still continue to learn. You can still continue to improve. But the bottom line is you've got to face the music, and whether you're ready or not, that'll be shown and that'll be revealed. So yes, you can't avoid what your obligations are supposed to be.
You know, thank God for Kevin in the chat room.
Yes,
no, not that. Not that he's telling me that our sound isn't working right now, because he did that a lot last week. But he was just reminding me of a really good fight, a fight that I can't believe I didn't talk about it when they announced it a couple of weeks ago. I was like all jacked up about it, and it just has flown under the radar. But Martin Murray against Gabe Rosado, that fight's happening too. What a good fight that's going to be. I mean, Gabe Rosado. I love watching this kid fight. If he didn't puff up and get cut so much, I truly believe he would have been a world champion. What I really respect about Gabe Rosado is he's a throwback fighter. He'll fight anybody that they put in front of him, any weight class. He doesn't care. Martin Murray's got a tough hill to climb against Gabe Rosado if he doesn't bust him up. If he busts him up, then unfortunately for Gabe, he's gonna follow the path he usually does. So we got that fight coming from overseas. Arthur Abraham against Robin Krasniqi, that's coming from overseas. I mean, some good fights, Sal. I mean, really, we do have a lot of fights scheduled for this weekend. It's gonna be hard.
I mean, we're gonna have to.
It's gonna be hard to watch them all. You know.
I was gonna say, maybe you should watch half of them. I should watch half of them.
Yeah, well,
maybe not.
I'll try and watch them all. I just won't be able to. Yeah, one of the problems that we have with doing the post fight shows is simply this. You know, if I did a post fight show after the Sean Porter Andre Berto fight, it's at the same time as the Oscar Valdez Miguel Mariaga fight. We would focus on one. So if I DVR one of them, I watch one live, I come on and do a post-fight show about the live one, and somebody runs. See, for me, I'm being selfish here, Sal, because for me, I can't watch, unless I'm doing it from a blast from the past or a research point of view, when I'm covering a fight, I can't watch a fight I know the result from. If I'm live at ringside and there's another fight going on, I tell everybody, don't tell me nothing about the fight I watch it as if it's live the next morning or something. So, I would hate to have somebody call in and go, hey, did you see Valdez knock out Mariaga? Oh, man, I didn't watch that fight, I mean, what do you think about watching, knowing the result of a fight before you watch it?
No, I don't want to know it. If I know it, I could watch anticipating what I know and what is going to happen. However, leading up to it, sure, it's interesting. But I'd rather do it cold, like you said, and take it and feed it and assess it as it's going live or replayed without me knowing the results.
Right. Now, when I watch a fight that I've recorded, for all intent and purposes, it's a live fight for me.
It's a live fight.
I don't even turn the computer on. I don't answer any calls. Dax is always. I'm always like when Dax and I talk a lot off air.
I know you.
And when he calls, I'll be like, don't tell me the fight. I didn't watch it yet. And now he's learned. He always goes, hey, did you see the such and such versus so and so fight? And I'm like, no, don't tell me. Oh, okay. And he used to be like, oh man, what a knockout! Oh, thanks, Dax. You just ruined it for me, But no, now he does it the right way. But anyway, Sal, final thoughts on Berto, Sean Porter. I know we've given people our opinion and stuff, but how do you see the fight going from start to finish?
Well, I see Berto I definitely coming out, and these guys aren't going to have to really look for each other. And I see Sean Porter just being very aggressive and taking the fight to Berto. And I see Berto trying to counter, but I see Sean Porter's arsenal and punches and bunches might become overwhelming in the later rounds for Berto. And if Sean can catch him with a couple of good shots and combinations and doesn't take his foot off the pedal, he could stop Berto before the end of the bell, before the end of the fight.
Well, I used to love Berto in a sense, and he's a warrior, and I love that he gets up and he keeps going. But here's what I think is going to happen. Andre Berto has displayed in the past that he does get hurt. He does take a shot, and he definitely is a strong guy. There's no question about it. But I think that Sean Porter, the Keith Thurman fight, I think he learned a lot from. I you know, Sean Porter, if he can become, like you were saying and suggesting earlier, if he could become a little more accurate with his punches, I don't know if there'd be many fighters in that division that could beat him. I think the fact that he's on a tendency to be wild, you know, gives a boxer like a Keith Thurman that is, you know, a slick fighter in a sense, the edge, you know, to as long as they can avoid a shot and counterpunch him. Because the one weakness that Sean Porter does have is he kind of leaves himself open. He goes head first. But the guy is always in condition, something that Berto has been questionable about. And I do think if Sean Porter gets Andre Berto in any kind of trouble, he's going to finish him off. I'm predicting that Sean Porter will beat Andre Berto, and I think he's going to beat him decisively, meaning I think he's going to stop him. So I'm with you on that one. So I'm officially picking Sean Porter. And like Sal suggested the other day, we will be doing on Monday morning, basically our post-fight show. We will give you our post-fight thoughts of the Berto Porter fight, the Charlo Hatley fight, and then the four fights on the pay-per-view, along with the fights from Germany, Arthur Abraham and Krasniqi, and then the Martin Murray Gabrizzato fight. So you'll be hearing, obviously, our in-detail thoughts about those fights come Monday. So I'll be looking forward to that. But I tell you what, Sal. On this day in boxing history, April 21st in 1962, Carlos Ortiz wins a 15-round decision over Joe Brown. Not the guy that's the judge, not Judge Joe Brown, but the
judge
fighter.
Joe Brown.
He won the vacant. He won the world lightweight title. It took place in Vegas on this day in 1962. On this day in 1990, Robert Quiroga wins a 12-round decision over Juan Polo Perez to win the IBF World Junior Bantamweight title. It took place in England. On this day in 1920, Johnny Kilbane knocks out Alvy Miller in the seventh round to retain his world featherweight title. It took place in Ohio. You know, currently, not too many fights take place in Ohio. And then on this day, April 21st in 1944, one of the best fighters, in my opinion, of all time, and the only fighter that the greatest of all time, the best ever, if you will, Sugar Ray Robinson, refused to fight. The late, great Charlie Burley, he batters another Hall of Famer and another great fighter in Archie Moore, dropping him four times. And Charlie Burley was not known for a power puncher because he had such fragile hands. He used to break his hands. He used to not only break his hands working on a heavy bag, but he used to put a broken hand into the glove before a fight. I mean, talk about heart and determination. But Charlie Burley batters Archie Moore, dropping him four times.
Wow.
And then Moore, to his credit, goes the distance. And Burley wins a 10-round decision in their fight that took place in Hollywood, California. Charlie Burley improved to 62 wins, 9 losses, and a couple of draws. And Archie Moore, who barely made it to the final bell, drops his record to 59 wins, 9 losses, and 5 draws. So a great fight between these two guys taking place in 1944. Any final thoughts from you, Mr. Senecola?
No, right now, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing some of these mega fights, some of these big fights coming up. And, of course, Sean Porter and Andre Berto should be a competitive fight. But like I said, I think Sean Porter's going to come out the victor. And I can't wait for the Anthony Joshua fight, which is coming up against Klitschko. And I think that's going to be fantastic.
Well, I agree with you there. I can't wait for that one myself.
See, that's a pay-per-view. That to me is what I wanted to pay-per-view for.
No, exactly. I agree with you 100%. 100%. That's a pay-per-view quality fight. Well, listen, make sure you tune in Monday morning, and we will be going back to a full 5 days a week schedule. We may start to come back and do it in the middle of next week where we just start going concurrent. But definitely the date has been set by May 1st. If we play a little hooky next week, it's just getting final getting ready for the final, where we come back 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, the way we used to do it, beginning May 1st. So make sure you mark that one down on your calendar. That's signed, sealed, and delivered. And we'll give you all the particulars about the show and where we can be seen now on the television dial on Monday when we do our post-fight show. So enjoy the fights this weekend, and make sure you tune in Monday morning right here. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, ciao, baby. Denna